Is Gavin or Steph here? Oh, you're there. Phew. It's time for our Bible readings. And Gavin and Mary will be taking our Bible readings this morning.
So, reading from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus went on to Jericho and was passing through. There was a chief tax collector there named Zacchaeus, who was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was a little man and could not see Jesus because of the crowd. So he ran ahead of the crowd and climbed a sycamore tree. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Hurry down, Zacchaeus, because I must stay at your house today." Zacchaeus hurried down and welcomed him with great joy. All the people who saw it started grumbling, "This man has gone as a guest to the home of a sinner." Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Listen, sir, I will give half my belongings to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone, I will pay back four times as much." Jesus said to him, "Salvation has come to this house today, for this man also is a descendant of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost."
The second Bible reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. Anyone who is joined to Christ is a new being. The old is gone. The new has come. All this is done by God, who through Christ changed us from enemies into his friends and gave us the task of making others his friends also. Our message is that God was making the whole human race his friends through Christ. God did not keep an account of their sins, and he has given us the message which tells us how he makes them his friends. Here we are, then, speaking for Christ, as though God himself were making his appeal through us. We plead on Christ's behalf. Let God change you from enemies into his friends. Christ was without sin, but for our sake God made him share our sin in order that in union with him we might share the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us today. Lord, we pray that your spirit would speak clearly to us. Help us to be eager to listen. Help us to be ready to receive from you. Comfort us and strengthen us. Challenge us and inspire us. Lord, may we not only hear your word, but respond to it as well. In all that you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Earlier in the week, I watched Canon Andrew White being interviewed on BBC Breakfast. Did anyone see Canon Andrew White? No, just me then. I'm sure it was this week. Canon Andrew White is perhaps better known as being the Vicar of Baghdad. For the last two decades, he has worked as a mediator in some of the deadliest disputes in the world, including in Israel and Palestine and Iraq. He has sat down to eat with terrorists, extremists, the sons of Saddam Hussein, presidents, and prime ministers. Last year, as terrorist forces threatened to take the city, and friends were trying to escape, some of whom were killed, Canon Andrew White did what he always did when faced with an enemy. He invited the leaders of ISIS for dinner. The BBC presenters said to him, "What happened? Did you hear back from them?" And he said, "Yes, ISIS replied. And they said, 'You can invite us to dinner, but we'll chop your head off.'" He responded, "So I didn't invite them again." Now, Canon Andrew White is a great example of someone who is committed to bringing restoration and reconciliation to the world. He once worked with Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, at Coventry Cathedral. And there, they were both directors of a Centre for Peace and Reconciliation. And apparently, both of them wear crosses today that are made out of nails taken from that cathedral after it was bombed during the war. And he's currently the president of the Foundation for Relief and Reconciliation in the Middle East. This is an organisation that he set up to provide spiritual and material relief to refugees displaced by violent upheaval. In his role, he also works with key religious leaders, working towards bringing peace and reconciliation to the Middle East. That's very interesting, you're probably thinking, but what's that got to do with Zacchaeus? But as we look at Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus this morning, I think we will see some similarities in the restoration and reconciliation that took place then to the ministry of Andrew White. Similarities that actually provide a blueprint for us today as we seek to continue Jesus' mission in the world. That mission of Jesus is summed up for us in the reading from Luke, verse 10. Luke tells us that Jesus said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." In other words, Jesus came to lead those to God whom others had given up on, to reclaim the prodigals, to call to himself the people who needed to repent, to change their ways, to live for God. We learn from Luke that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He must have heard about him. He was intrigued to see what he looked like. And he was so desperate that he ran ahead of the crowd and climbed a tree to catch a glimpse of him. But he never expected that Jesus would stop and look at him, let alone that Jesus would then call him by name and invite himself round for a meal. This encounter demonstrates the dedication and the devotion that Jesus has in seeing people saved. It is right for us to note this morning that Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus. He wanted to see him. He wanted to discover who Jesus was. But it would be wrong of us to think that it was entirely down to him, or that it's entirely down to us to find Jesus for ourselves. When Luke records those words of Jesus, that he came to seek and to save the lost, there's an echo there of some stories that Luke tells just a few chapters earlier. The stories of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. In a way, Zacchaeus was a real-life example of those stories. Jesus longs so much to see people saved that he goes out of his way to find them. And Zacchaeus shows us that there is no one that is beyond his reach. Just as most people are surprised, if not shocked, to hear of many of the invitations that Canon Andrew White has been sent out to join him for dinner, so there would have been quite a similar outcry about Jesus being entertained by Zacchaeus. Any tax collector would have been hated by the people. Tax collectors sought to line their own pockets as they collected the tax. But Zacchaeus wasn't any tax collector. He was a chief tax collector. As such, he would have been right at the top of the collection pyramid. Not surprisingly, Luke points out to us that Zacchaeus was rich. Yes, Zacchaeus was wealthy because of his fraud and corruption, but he wasn't popular. He may not have been a tyrant or a terrorist, but he had robbed people and he had hurt them, and he wouldn't just have been merely disliked, he would have been loathed. If Jesus stopping and talking to him wasn't bad enough, Jesus then invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. Now, this was a crucial act. To enter somebody's home and to eat with them there was an absolute expression of grace. In doing that, the person would be affirming that individual, recognizing them. Jesus' words and actions towards Zacchaeus show that Jesus accepted him. And Zacchaeus responded, Luke tells us in verse 6, by welcoming Jesus with great joy. His response shows that just as Jesus had accepted him, so he too accepted Jesus. Jesus' acceptance of him brought him restoration. And that restoration brought a change in his heart. In verse 9, we heard that Jesus said, salvation has come to this house today. What was Jesus saying? Salvation has come to this house today. In those words, Jesus was declaring that a spiritual transformation had taken place. Zacchaeus had been saved. His change of heart had enabled him to go from being an outcast to being an accepted child of God. Now, it's quite likely that these actions would not have reconciled him to the religious people around him. But he was reconciled to God, and that was far more important. This change of heart that Zacchaeus had was also an example to the people around him. The ones that were grumbling, the ones that were complaining, saying, why is Jesus eating at the house of sinners? They're an example to them and also an example to us, because they remind us that each one of us needs that change of heart. I mentioned earlier that Andrew White and Justin Welby used to work together at Coventry Cathedral. Has anyone been to Coventry Cathedral? Have you seen part of the medieval building that was destroyed? Yeah? For those that haven't been, there is part of the building left that was destroyed by enemy action November 1940. And apparently 6 weeks after the bombing, Richard Howard, the provost of the cathedral, said on national radio that once the war was over, his vision was to work with those who'd been enemies to build a kinder, more Christ-like world. And as a symbol of this, he wanted to have inscribed on the wall of the ruined cathedral the words, Father, forgive. Now, people questioned him about this action, saying, why didn't you use Jesus' fuller quote from his words on the cross? Why didn't you say, Father, forgive them? But his response was the acknowledgement that we all need to seek forgiveness for ourselves, as well as to ask it for others. And so the words are, Father, forgive. It wasn't just Zacchaeus that needed to experience this change of heart. As we will remember later when we celebrate communion together, we are all in need of God's salvation. Zacchaeus, the tax collectors, the sinners, the outcasts, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the rest of the crowds, every one of us. We are all in need of God's salvation. We all need a change of heart. The words we heard earlier from 2 Corinthians remind us that we have been given a message and a ministry of reconciliation. But in order for us to deliver that message, we have to have experienced the reconciliation for ourselves. Jesus offers each one of us the opportunity to be restored. Like Zacchaeus, he calls us by name and he waits for us to respond, to accept that offer of restoration. That change begins with a change of heart. But the outworking of that restoration is a change in our lifestyle. Zacchaeus made that lifestyle change immediately, and the change for him was very dramatic. In verse 8, we heard, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Listen, sir, I will give half my belongings to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone, I will pay him back four times as much." There was a cost to Zacchaeus for accepting Jesus and following him. For him, repentance meant restoring what had been wrongfully taken. And if you think about the promise that he made to Jesus, it's hard to imagine that he would have had much left at all after he'd carried out that promise. But Zacchaeus doesn't see this as a sacrifice. Rather, he seems to regard it as an extravagant gesture in response to the generosity and grace of God. What Zacchaeus did was far more than would have been expected of him. At the time, it would have been considered generous to give away 20% of your possessions. Yet Zacchaeus declared he was going to give away half. And the penalty that he set himself to pay back those he had wronged was also significantly higher than would have been applied by the law. In fact, that penalty was on a par with a penalty set for a thief or sheep rustlers. The change in the heart of Zacchaeus was clearly visible by the change in his lifestyle. A one-off act to try and restore things and bring them back into balance, and a lifelong commitment to continue to live in the right way. When we accept Jesus' offer of restoration, there will be a cost for each one of us. It may not be a financial cost, as it was for Zacchaeus. This was the response he had to make because it was through money that he had wronged others and dishonoured God. But whoever we are, choosing to follow Jesus brings about a change in our lifestyle. I think we'll wait a minute. Whoever we are, choosing to follow Jesus brings about a change in lifestyle. As the great hymn says, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." Jesus never asked Zacchaeus to act like this, but it was with gratitude that he willingly chose to follow Jesus in this way. So as we reflect on the life of Zacchaeus today, I wonder what lifestyle changes are evident in us because of our acceptance of Jesus' offer of restoration. Perhaps more importantly, what are the challenges that are before us now to enable us to live a life in gratitude and obedience? Now, for some of us, like Zacchaeus, it may mean giving up something, whether that's material, financial, a particular attitude or habits. For others, it may mean taking on a new way of life that better reflects the character of Jesus. For others still, it might mean making a stand for the values of Jesus. The cost might be more to do with the opinions of others, or the things we may lose as a result of modelling the kingdom lifestyle. But for all of us, there will be a change to our lifestyle. I want to encourage you this morning to be open to God's Spirit and to how he might be challenging us. And I pray for each one of us that our response to God might be as joyful and as generous as the example of Zacchaeus. Restoration brings a change to our hearts and a change to our lifestyle. But beyond that, restoration also brings a transformation to society. Think for a moment of the impact of Zacchaeus' actions in choosing to give away half of his possessions and to pay back those he had cheated by four times as much. How would that have changed their lives? Well, it would have had a massive financial impact to those individuals, a massive material gain. But what other effects would those actions have had? How would their faith have been impacted when they saw the change in Zacchaeus? Maybe these actions of Zacchaeus would have enabled those people to discover Jesus too. And in committing to change his lifestyle, it is likely that Zacchaeus then became a very active Christian within the city of Jericho. Because he had been transformed personally, he was able to bring restoration to wider society. Now, this kind of restoration was, in fact, the kind of change that the Jewish people were looking for from the Messiah. They were expecting a social and a political change, an uprising to release them from the oppression of the Romans. But the Jewish people had the message back to front. The political and social change would come, yes, but it would only come as a result of individual hearts and lives being changed. And it would be this personal restoration that would lead to a greater transformation within society. So often, if we want to see society changed, the change has to start with us. It's a simple message, one that has been presented by numerous people, including Michael Jackson. I didn't realise until recently that that is what his song, Man in the Mirror, is all about. The lyrics to that song say, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. And no message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change. His song picks up the idea that in changing the way we live, we will have a bigger impact on the world around us. But it isn't just about us making a positive change. What Zacchaeus illustrates better for us is that his change of heart, as a result of the restoration he received from Jesus, begins to change the world around him and bring God's kingdom in. I want to take you back for a few moments to Canon Andrew White again. I said he was known as the Vicar of Baghdad, and that's because he reopened St. George's Church after the invasion of Iraq, even though civil war raged, even though the diplomats and the expats who'd once made up his congregation no longer dared to go there. But his decision to stay meant that Iraqis came instead. Iraqis came, and the congregation reached a peak of 6,500. His work of restoration and reconciliation to those individuals had a far-reaching impact. Not only were their lives changed, but together they built a school, they built a clinic, and they set up a food bank. All this while the war was raging around them, and many Christians, including ones that they knew, were being killed. The numbers of people who were helped as a result of their ministry must have been way beyond their expectations. But as we each respond individually to God's call upon our lives, that restoration brings transformation to society. In a few moments, we're going to be sharing communion together, and we'll have a chance to reflect again on the restoration that Jesus offers to us as individuals. But as we receive afresh the mercy and grace of God for ourselves, like Zacchaeus, that demands a response from each one of us. We are each called to continue Jesus' mission, to seek and to save the lost, offering restoration and working towards reconciliation, bringing in God's kingdom and transforming society as we live for him. Let's take a few moments of silence as we reflect on God's word to us, and take a few moments to listen to what God might be saying to us and the challenges he is laying before us to bring about that restoration and reconciliation. Loving God, we thank you for the wonderful example of Zacchaeus. Thank you for the reminder that that is for us, of your deep desire to look for us, to know us, to save us, to welcome us into your family. And thank you for the example in his response, not only to accept you and receive that spiritual transformation, but also to change our lives to reflect your love and your values, and to bring in your kingdom. Lord, I pray this morning for those of us who struggle to accept your love for us. Yes, we know that you love the world, but that you love us individually, that you love me. Lord, that's harder. Lord, as we look at Zacchaeus, may we be reminded that there is no one of us that is beyond your reach, not one of us that you do not love, not one of us that you did not die for. Help us to receive afresh your love for us. And Lord, for each of us, I pray that by your Spirit you would speak to us. Remind us of the changes that you have made already within us, as you have transformed us to reflect your likeness. But help us to respond to you in the ways that you are challenging us to live for you. And as we make those changes ourselves, Lord, I pray that you will use us to bring transformation to our wider society and to bring your kingdom into our world. In Jesus' name, amen.